Oh.
For posterity. I don't know if anybody else would ever listen to this for posterity, but I assume if I ever apply for some kind of government position, they'll be poring over my public record to see if I've ever said anything inappropriate. That's my biggest fear, is I said something at some point and I'm gonna get fired. But Hallel's pretty benign, I think. Okay, so we're looking at Hallel, and we're up to the Perek Kuf Tet Zayin, which is the fourth parak, really the third section though, of Hallel. This is Ahati Ki Yishma Hashem Kol Yitachon Adonai. Again, I assume everybody knows Hallel pretty well by heart. If not, go ahead and pull out the rest of it. We'll bring that up as well. What makes this parak different from everything else is that it's in the first person. This is a personal prayer. You have this image that there's a Baal Tefillah, Baal Tehillah, we'll call it, talking to his audience, Hallelu Hashem Hashem, you need to go praise God, and that there is the basis of it was what we call Hallel Mitzrayim, Hallel that came with the man of Egypt, and you would have Hallel Adei Hashem, the Baal Tehillah telling you the congregation, praise God, here, God is great, Mashpil, La'aras, he looks like God on the earth, to take you from his triumph, hear the great things that happened. You'd go straight from the end of the last parak, Anachnu Baraka, we praise Hashem, to the next parak, which is Halu Hashem, Kol Goyim, the whole world should praise Hashem. That's kind of the natural progression. God is great, you praise God, whole world praises God. But here, we have David, which was in that as the psalmist, so sticking this little paragraph in the middle. Bahati, I personally, I love it when God listens. But it's very different than the rest of Hallel, because it's not about praising Hashem. Look at the words of it. It's all about bringing the sacrifices. Somehow brought that in here. At the end of it, I'm going to bring a Toda offering, B'Shem Hashem HaKra, call it in the name of Hashem. I will fulfill my vows. And then there is a specific kind of offering. And then I'll call before all of the people. That's about the zevach, the toda, and the neder, which are two kinds of, they're voluntary offerings. The things you offer when you think, okay, I need to express my gratitude to Hashem. There, one is the neder is an olah, which is entirely to Hashem. And then the Zevach Todah is David Hirshhorn's favorite kind of carbon, the barbecue. That everyone comes and you have to share. The one point of carbon Todah is that it's an entire cow and you have to eat it in a day. You have to share it, bringing everybody together. So looking at these two different kinds, there's the one is the described in Parsha Vayikra, Adam ki yakriv mikem karbon Hashem. If you just want to bring a karbon, then the karbonot nedavah is there. That's what the Rashi is telling us. This is talking about what we usually think of as a sacrifice, something you're getting up. But the other kind is later on in Vayikra, it's called in zevach shlamim karbonot. If you're offering a shlamim, in bakar matzah, in bakar makriv, in bakar nedavah, tamim makrivena, you have to bring this karbon, and all the rules again involve having everybody eating that. And they're called shlamim. As Rashi says, Yishem Shalom Mizbeach, Shalom Makanim, Ula Ba'alim. You have something for everybody. Parts of it are offered, parts of it are given to the Kohanim, parts to the Ba'alim, to the owners. And the fact that it has to be eaten in a day means it has to be shared. And that's good, but what's it doing in Hallel? That's kind of the question. You know, this is about the Karbanot. So I think that the key phrase, what we just quoted, right between the Zevach Todah and the Neder, we talk about B'Shem Hashem Akra. We look at this parak, he says it over and over again. Now here's the structure of this Perek of Hallel. Hati Yishma Hashem, Unicha V'Mavet, U'V'Shem Hashem Akra. And then, and you might have seen Kodom Kozev, I had no faith in people. Kos Yisro Elsha, I raise a glass to Hashem, V'Shem Hashem Akra, and I call out to Hashem. V'Shem Hashem Akra again. And then, Nedarai Hashem Hashalem, I will fulfill my vows, I will bring the carbon, and I call out the name of Hashem. And that's has a very specific meaning in Tanakh, calling out in the name of God, Hashem Hashem Akra. And the image that David is there in front of his Be'ah, he's offering his Karbanot, telling his story about all the trouble he got to get into. And he'll say that in the beginning, Sarab Yagon Emsa, I was found in trouble and agony. Then I will pray to Hashem, Shem Hashem Akra. I'll be saved, and then I'll thank Hashem, Kos Yishua Esav, Shem Hashem Akra. And then I'll bring my Karbanot, L'chaz Bach Toda, Shem Hashem Akra, over and over again. That the key part of the Karban is not the sacrifice part, it's the Shem Hashem Akra. It's thanking Hashem, calling on the name of God. And we quoted this in the Chumash class a couple of times, that's the way the Avot looked at their Karbanot. They all built Mizbechot in Sefer Bereshit. It's interesting, they're not quoted as bringing Karbanot on those Mizbechot. Here's Abraham. Abraham comes from Haran, he comes to Eretz Canaan, they take Mishama Hara, and he goes into the mountains, Mikedel Beit El, east of Beit El, the Yeta Allah pitches the tent, Beit El Miyam Ba'ai Mikedem, between the cities of Beit El and Ai, even Shem is Be'ach Hashem, he builds an altar there, like Rabbi Shem Hashem, and calls out in the name of God. That's what he does with his Mizbeach. He's declaring Hashem's greatness to everyone. Similarly, Yitzchak, even Shem is Be'ach, he lives in Be'er Sheva, he builds in Mizbeach. And not that he offers offerings on that, but it's like Rabbi Shem Hashem, calls out in the name of God. And yesterday's Parsha, by Vo Yaakov Shalem, Yer Shechem, Yaakov comes to Shechem, healthy and whole. And by Yechanan and come and comes from the city by Yitzchak Shem Mizbeach, and he builds his Mizbeach there. By Kralo Kel, okay, Israel, he calls out to God, God of Israel. That's what a Mizbeach is there for. And that's what David is doing. Is, you know, he's offering his Kabanot, but he's singing his Tehillim as he's doing it. And you say that, you know, we know that the Avot built these seven Mizbechot, but they really only record offerings in two of them. But the point is not the burning animals, the public declaration of his service to Hashem. So that I think what David is doing here is that you're saying Hallel, assuming that the Beit Midrash is Mizbeach, that's part of your Avoda is saying Hallel, but David is reminding us that it's not the Karban that's the important part of the Avoda, it's the Shira itself. Karban is an opportunity to sing Shira, to thank Hashem. And we mention that every time we say Shmoneh Esrei, that are there in our replacement for the Kabbalah. We start with this pasuk, Hashem Svatai Tiftachu Biyagi Svatacha. I think we're supposed to know what the rest of that parak says. We're all supposed to know Tehillim by heart, right? Everyone knows all this. That you say that, and God opened my mouth so I can pray to you, but the way the actual parak continues in Tehillim, parak Nun Aleph, is Ki Lo Tachpot Zemach Ve'etna. That you're saying, God, open my mouth because you do not want sacrifices and gifts. Allah is here saying, you have no desire for a burnt offering. That's not what you're looking for. The offering to God is a broken, a humble spirit. Lev nishbar, nidcha, a downtrodden heart. Elkim l'tzavazeh, God will not reject. That's kind of the underlying meaning is realizing as you're saying this, it's not the zevach that really what you're supposed to be doing. And even for us, it's not the words of the Shmoneh Esrei, it's the meaning. It's we're supposed to be declaring our praise of Hashem. That's what we're doing. So we're sticking that in the middle of Hallel. And let's look at this personal prayer of David. Starts out, Ahad Ti Ki Yishma Hashem. Usually translated, let's see how Faria translates it. I love the Lord, for he hears my voice, right? I love it when he hears me. And the little footnote here, that's from the JPS, translation, or others would read it as "I would love." So it's an odd kind of thing to say. Here, Yitzchak Shalom's essay on this points out that "I love it when Hashem listens to me" is, as he puts it, the religious message is troubling. Does the petitioner only go of God when he responds? You know, it's I love it when Hashem listens, but I don't love. What is it about that Hashem doesn't listen to me? I reject Hashem, but still, that's the way that Rashi reads it. As Hadihi Yishma Hashem, this is Rashi Te'adi Sheyishma. So he reads it as "I would love it if God listened to me." If he has he it re-meaning as "if God would listen to me." I would love it if Hashem would listen to me. Okay, or the Radak Ahati Hashem. And he, Radak says, no, the other way around. I need to love God because he listens to me. The Malbim actually, interestingly, says the opposite. That Koliya Tachanani is when I'm not in trouble. I still have to pray to Hashem. Ahati Kiyishma Hashem. I love it when Hashem listens to me because I am praying all the time. Rambam says there's an obligation to pray every day, even if there's no, even if things are great. Even if you have nothing to ask, you still need to daven to Hashem. This is the Malbim here. Ahavti, I love it. Gam be'et shahit lo batzar. Even when I was in no trouble at all, I didn't need anything. Hayiti bari olam, and I was strong, healthy. Gam be'et hazot, ahavti tachanunai. I love not Hashem, but I love my tachanunim. Yishma Hashem akoli, because Hashem will listen to me. Shalom yahati hitchanel is a hitl palel Hashem. The yahati refers to not to I love Hashem, but I love davening. That's what Malbim says. That is saying here. That the pasuk is ahati et koli tachanunai, and with kiyishma Hashem in parentheses. Not that God's listening, but that I love davening. I think it's part of the character of David. That makes sense. That's a good thought. That's one of the themes in Julia Rav Soloveitchik's Worship of the Heart, that we always need to be praying and davening no matter what, and feel the need to daven there. But I don't think that's the theme of the Perek, which actually is all about the Tzarav Yagon Emtzah, the trouble that David was in. It's not talking about when things are good, I still need daven. It's saying when things are bad, I daven and Hashem listens to me, and that's great. Still trying to figure what Ahavti Ki Yishma Hashem means. Gemara actually switches the pasuk around and reads Ahavti not as I love it, but saying as I am loved. Ram Sakim, Ahavti Ki Yishma Hashem, Amra Knesset Yisrael. People of Israel say, Ribono Shel Olam, Imat Ani Ahuva Lefanecha, when do I know that I am loved? Is Keshet Tishma Koli Kol Tachanunai, when you hear the voice of my prayer. So Ahavti is, I am love, Ki Yishma Hashem, when Hashem listens to me. Still all very strange. So Ahavti should have some kind of object there. And the question is, what is that, the object in the verb there? So Esh Shalom says, we're mistranslating Ahavti. Doesn't mean I loved, but I brought. That means to bring. And he quotes here Naftali Herz Tur Sinai, who was one of the inventors of modern Hebrew, along with Ben Yehuda. He notes that the psalmist is, first of all, someone who has recovered from near death. We'll see the rest of that. And is thanking God for the salvation. His intention that Thanksgiving should take place in the Mikdash, as the second half of the psalm makes clear. He's bringing his Karban Todah here. Furthermore, the method of showing gratitude will be through the fulfillment of his Nidarim and a Karban Todah, as we said. So Tur Sinai suggests that the opening of Ahavti is a reformulation of the word Heveti, I have brought. So it's Ahavti, I have brought everything I'm going to talk about, Ki Yishma, because Hashem heard my prayer and has saved me. Grateful petitioner brings his offering, declaring I have brought, and informing the declaration with the love he feels for God, for whom this Thanksgiving is being offered. The rest of the first verse details his reason for the bringing and his reasons for loving. Second verse continues to elucidate God's attention to him in his hour of need, And he concludes by averring that he called out to God with an oath. He's trying to understand the next passage. Ki ta azno li. Hashem has turned his ear to me. Pay attention to me. Uviyamai ekra. And that's another weird word. What does that yamai mean here? In my days, I call out. You have to hear whenever I call. But that, what does yamai mean? So Tursinai says, you know, we're going to go through this kind of poetic meaning here. Yamai doesn't mean days. Yamai means my oath. In Aramaic, we're assuming it's Hebrew, but it's Kame. So same thing, just like Ahav, we'll see, is the Aramaic Hav means to give. Ahavti is I gave. The Yamai Akra, with my oath, with my neder, I am calling out to God. I'm B'Shem Hashem Akra. When this like, connection of ahav and to give is comes up a lot in sort of Jewish thought, that the way one loves somebody is by giving. That the root of ahava is hav, which means to give. This is Rav Hirsch says this. There ahavta, yiloshon hav. To give to someone else. That's the basis of ahava, which is an important message for marriage and for dealing with children as well. Love is the act of giving. Right? To give, to also to see the other person. That's what hav means. So ahavti in this sense, I think, fits very well that we form this chiasm. You know what chiasm is, right? The two sides of it. Ahavti ki yishma kol tachanai. I have brought my oath because he hears my voice. And then ki ta'az no li because he listens to me. And I uviyamai akrat, I call to him with my oath. Very different way of understanding that than it's usually translated, but I think it fits with the rest of the parak. I'm bringing my carbon up because Hashem listened to me. Then he's going to talk about what happened. What happened that he's bringing these carbon toda? Afufuni chevle mother. I am enveloped with the kabbalim, which Rashi translates gangs of death. The reisha ol mitzarim. Rashi translates mitzarai as boundaries, like mitzarim, but the boundaries of the grave. Found me, Kirab Yagon Emsa, and I found trouble and agony, crying. But Radak keeps the parallels in here of a Funi Chavli Mavet, when Sha'om Sa'uni says Kabbalim are ropes. I'm tied up. And right, goes with the Afafuni being in modern Hebrew enveloped, surrounded by. Kavalim are kmut shivim, kavalim, they're chains and bounds. Mitzaray Sha'ul, the tsar means to tie up. I'm tied. I can't get out of this trouble. I'm stuck. Adak says that. Mitzaray Sha'ul is the same thing as Kavalim Mavet. The bounds of the grave, kafal inyan, to doubles the parallels the words, bimilot shanon, the other words. That's typical Hebrew poetry. And then sums it up in Sarab Yagon Emsa. I found the trouble and agony. And Radak notes that his troubles go from Sarisha ul Mitsauni, they found me, to Sarab Yagon Emsa, I found them. That's the way he puts it. Amar Mitsauni va Amar Emsa. Both they found me and I found them. Himikrim yimsu adam, liyachol evra. Because things happen, you can't get away from them. And the more you can find them as well. The more you try to get away from trouble, the more you seem to find. You just run into more trouble. That where you're going to try to do the right thing, you end up in trouble. That life's hard to predict. Because you don't know what's going to happen. You go try to do the right thing, and you end up encountering the rod. Things are wrong. That is expressing his helplessness. That so Rabbi Yagon Emsa, the more I try to get out of trouble, the more I find it. And right, the nature of the world we live in, there's no such thing as being perfect peace. As long as we're alive, that it ends this with the response of Uvashem Hashem Akra. So I call out to God. I can't save myself. I call out and I have a tefillah, Ana Hashem Al Tanafshi. Please, God, save me. Save my life.
Danny, what did he write this part, this these parts of Tehillim during the whole Bathsheba thing?
Well, we don't have a sense of when.
The aftermath with all his
these are very generic. Lots of times in his life he's been in danger. This really seems much more of an actual physical danger. I'm going to die here as opposed to lose the Malkut issue there. And I don't think it's, in this case, I don't think it's helpful to look for specific instances. These are not talking about specific instances here at all. These are much more generic, right? It applies to everyone. So our response is things are going bad. And the fact that it starts with this uvishem, and in the name of God I call out, is odd because it starts with an and.
The reason I asked that was because when he was trying to deal with his family problems, he was trying to do the right thing, but it didn't matter what he did. Things went wrong.
Well, that's a good point. So, yes. So certainly in the aftermath of Bathsheba, he's just trying to make it right. Even Bathsheba, you could say he was trying to make it right. Kept getting worse and worse. And I think that's true. That's throughout David's life. I think that's been true. You don't, a sense of I can't control it.
Yeah.
His response, again, in the sense of Tehillim is B'Shem Hashem Akra. And in the name of God, I call out that this B'Shem Hashem Akra is the chorus of this parak. That's what keeps going on. The Levav here, the end, represents an ongoing action. Know that from Rashi says that explicitly when Yitzchak is giving a bracha to the person he thinks is Esav, right? If Yaakov in front of him, he's telling the bracha meant for Esav is v'yitein l'chelokim, and God should give you v'tal shemayim shemei aretz, the dew of the heavens and the fat of the land, lots of grain and wine, and it starts with this v'yitein. That's not a v'ava hipuch. That's grammatically there to make it God gave, but it's and God will give. And Rashi says, to go over and over again. So uvashem Hashem akra is an ongoing action. We do this over and over again in order to call out to God's name. That's what the idea of Hallel is. So we've got the difference between Shira and Hallel. Shira is telling God how great he is. Hallel is telling everybody else how great God is. Hallel's got to be told to other people. So v'shem Hashem akra is, I will declare God's greatness over and over again. And that's what he's doing here, that he described, I was in trouble, I called out to God. And the next section there after v'shem Hashem akra is Chanun Hashem tadik elkeinim rachem, God is merciful, just, and compassionate, and he is shomer p'taim Hashem, God guards the fools. I was poor, Yoshia, and he saved me. That happened. Yeah, no details on here. What's going on? This is a generic tefillah to take here. And that idea of Shomer P'taim Hashem, God guards the fools. That's important because we're all fools, right? We kind of count on that sentiment there. And the word P'taim is from the singular Peti, the Aleph kind of gets stuck in the middle of that. It doesn't really mean something's foolish, that's more Sichlut in Tanakh, but it means to be enticed or seduced. Say that Shema. Shemu lachem pen yiftel levavchem. That's your heart be careful that your heart not be enticed away. Shartem v'atem elohim achrim, and you start worshiping other gods.
Danny, that's the modern Hebrew now, too. Liftodist attempt.
Attempt, okay. Yeah, that's what it is. Shomer p'taim is Hashem protects those who are tempted, those who follow the crowd, those who are easily led astray. They don't think for themselves. And this idea has halakhic implications. You want to look at it as well, especially nowadays because we're all running around wearing masks. Because we have to be careful for our, we know we have to be careful for our own health and safety. And that's from the Psukim in Devarim. Baki shamer lecho shemor nafshecha ma'od. You need to be careful and guard your life very carefully. In the context of that, that's talking about religious obligations. And he's talking to Rima Sharonecha, lest you forget what you've seen. And you, it's lost from your heart all the days of your life. Yom Asher Amadat Lefnei Hashem Elokecha B'Chorev, when you stood in front of Hashem in Har Sinai. It continues on, Yishmartem Me'od L'Nafshechem, be very careful for your life. You didn't see any image, you can't make an idol of all of this. So the Peshada of Yishmartem Me'od L'Nafshechem, be very careful for your life, is a religious obligation. Don't make idols. But the Gemara understands refers to physical life as well. You need to be careful with your life. Wear your seatbelt and your helmet, depending on how you're driving. This is a Gemara in Brachot. So, but in Maaseh b'chassid echad, there was one chassid, not Maaseh b'chassid, but just someone who was so religious, so righteous, he was davening on the road, he's saying Shema Esrei, he's standing still, but hegemon echad, and one hegemon, a ruler, Roman official came by, shalom, and greeted him and said hello. Lo hechzilo shalom, and this chassid standing doesn't respond hello to this Roman official. Imtin lo hachisim tfilato, so this guy waits and watches him praying on the road, refusing to acknowledge his existence, and he waits for him. Achachisim tfilato, after he finishes davening, this Roman official says, and break out, you idiot. Hello, Katuba Torashkam, Raki Shemer Lacho Shemer Nafshecha. Even Yishmatim Olnashar Yechem. I know that your Torah, your Bible tells you you have to be really careful about your life. You have to stay safe. Shatani Lacha Shalom, Lama Lachati Li Shalom. So why didn't you acknowledge me when I greeted you? Mita Chotek Roshcha B'Sayef. I could have cut your head off. Can't be rude to me. Mia Tovea Demecha Miyadi. No one would hold me responsible. So this is a nice moment here, right? He didn't cut his head off. He just warned him, like, you know, you do this again, you could end up in trouble, right? All these people davening on airplanes refuse to move the flight attendant. Don't do that. It's a dangerous thing. So, and then the chassid is, I'm kindly on after, so please let me talk to you. And it continues on from there. But the underlying message is, yes, there is a mitzvah of staying alive, being careful, independent of mitzvot entirely. Be careful about what you do. There are limits to how careful you have to be. You have to worry about everything. And this is from an essay from the Har Etzion. So I don't know who Rav A. Ohed Pixler. I don't know who it is. This is a shiur that was on the Gush Etzion website talking about staying safe. What do we have to do? Check our own lives. Summarizing. Bizman Chazal, Ha'isur Chamor Lishtot Mashkeh Nishar Megulel Lo Hashkecha. So time of Chazal, it was forbidden to drink anything that was left exposed overnight. You left your water out on the table, you can't drink it. But you're worried that a snake drank from it and left some venom behind in the water, and you'd be poisoned. Whether or not that was a realistic worry or it is now, that's a separate question. But given that they were concerned about it, they said you can't do it. Not from a religious, but from a safety perspective. A Gemara dana b'isur zeh b'arichut. And the Gemara goes into a lot of details about this, what you have to worry about. We talk Udazu and part of dealing with this idea of not drinking anything that's been left exposed. You have to realize that this is a palpable worry. This was a real thing. So again, this is not a Kabbalistic idea. This is a worry of something actually was a risk of something poisonous. Be like if the CDC found out that you were eating sushi, like raw fish, that's a terrible thing. So in the course of dealing with the laws of exposed liquid, and talk about wine, and you drink it was left out, the Gemara says the following. Amar Chia Bar Ashi, Amar Shmuel. You have figs that are left out, with a hole in the fig, right, where the pitae now is where you pulled the stem off and now there's a hole in there. Don't worry about them being left out. Come on, who says that? Ki haitana de tanya Rabbi Elazar, because we know Rabbi Elazar said, omer ocha adam anavim utenim balayla, you can eat grapes and figs at night. Even if you can't see exactly what's in there, you just pick them out of the bowl, you know they're there, and you have to examine it closely. Eno choshesh, there's no worry that maybe it's been bitten by a snake and there's poison in there. Shema shomer ta'im Hashem. The reason why you don't have to worry is because God guards the fools. You have to be careful, but this kind of thing you don't have to worry about because God will take care of you. What does that mean? Because that expression, shomer ta'im Hashem, comes up a lot. Another example of shomer ta'im Hashem. When I don't have to worry about to danger of something. Kind of a Bibi Kameder of Nachman. Those Nashim Misham Shopamoch. Three cases where a woman is allowed to use a barrier contraceptive. This is not lawfully to ask your rabbis about this question. Katana, someone who's underage, Muberet, someone who's pregnant, Umenika, someone who's nursing. Katana, Shema Titaber, Shema Tumbut. But the Katana is someone who, I would say, literally small enough for someone for whom pregnancy would be dangerous. They can use a contraceptive. Uberet. Shema Taset Ubera Sandal. And for someone who's already pregnant, because they're concerned that, literally, that the fetus will become a sandal. There will be damage to the fetus itself. Worry about that, you can use the contraceptive. Menika. And someone who is nursing, Shema Tigmo Benat V'Yamot, and that's because if they're worried that if she becomes pregnant, her milk supply will dry up, and then her infant that she's nursing now will die from a lack of milk. And these are medical issues that permit that you can use a moch. Come on, Miriam. So when we say Akazu Avakazu, Mashe Kedaka Volaka. In all these cases, they're allowed to have relations without contraceptive. Even if you're saying it's dangerous, and if they want to, they can. God will protect the fools. Yeah, it's dangerous, but it's okay. Don't worry about it. The bottom line is from Amar Papa. Yoma de Iv Yoma de Shuta Lo Mahalina Bay Lo Misukrina Bay. And this is another, this is like Gemara time medicine. On cloudy days and Shuta is a rainy day, you shouldn't do Brit Mila. It's dangerous to have medical procedure on such a day. You don't do Misuk running bell, you don't get bloodletting on those days. Again, medical. We're not dealing with what you do with the medical knowledge of the Gemara. Clearly, they felt this was a dangerous thing. Medical procedures on cloudy days were a bad idea. But nowadays, the Dashubar Rabim, and the kids nowadays that everyone does it, Shomer Pta'im Hashem. God will guard those who are Pta'im who go after the crowd. And that's the bottom line. You can't, right. The bottom line is that you don't have to worry about every possible risk. You can't do it. We have to rely on Hashem's protection, and the underlying reason when do we rely on Hashem's protection is the Dashu Barabim, when everyone does it anyway. The Sfir Marshal, this is the Marshal Yom Shel Shlomo. B'chol Mahalech Chayenu, that everything we do in life, Anu Tfuyim B'Hashem, we depend on Hashem. B'rega rega, Kadosh Baruch Hu Matzil Otanu, Adi Nisim Nisarim, and everything is dangerous. We risk it, just walking outside is dangerous, and Hashem saves us. That's our faith. Okay, gam b'nyan zeh, shalinu l'smoch al shmirato, v'ashu l'adgir, she'enenu somchit mimel Hashem. And so too, in all these other cases, we should rely on Hashem, and we can't say that we're not going to rely on Hashem, we're going to go out of our way, do unreasonable things to protect ourselves from risk. So we won't get involved in any kind of danger, we won't take any risk at all. V'ken l'or akronut, and it seems to be the consistent theme of this kibbutz shadashu barabim, that everyone, the masses, literally walk that way. And all the achronim talk about the talacha, That's what it is. If everybody does it, it's okay. That's how human beings assess risk. We don't make calculations about what's dangerous and what's not. We look what everybody else is doing. Everybody does it, it's okay. In terms of safety. And that's realistic because we don't know what the actual risks are. So everyone's wearing a seatbelt, we'll assume we need to wear seatbelts. Nobody wears a helmet in the car, we'll assume we don't have to wear a helmet in the car. Yes, you should get your COVID vaccine. In terms of keeping yourself safe, but do you have to go out? Do you need to stay home all the time? If you don't have, you know, probably not. Again, we can look at derech eretz. What do people do? Rim shezu derech normally, lots of times, things that are normal. Again, normal is defined by what the things that we see other people do. And other people don't worry about them. There's no requirement for a person to go to the extreme, being careful. That's kind of the message of Shomer Ptayim Hashem. Because we can't know what every risk is, and we can't protect ourselves from every possible risk. We are Ptayim, following the crowd. That's what it means to be human. So you can still have to walk outside, even though you might be hit by a meteor. That's what David is saying here. Shomer Ptayim Hashem, Chanun Hashem. We still have to rely on Hashem just for our everyday life. Still need to try. We still need to sort of do what we need to do to keep ourselves safe. Don't be reckless. And part of that not being reckless is knowing what the risks are. And David says in Tehillim, in Yitul Yotet, is that part of that is our learning Torah and learning what Hashem wants. That's what we want. That's what we're expected to do. Torah Hashem is Tanima. But Nefesh gives itself the soul. Edut Hashem Nemana. The testimony of God is faithful. Machakima Pesi. It makes fool the easily enticed and wise. Learn Torah, do Ratzon Hashem, and go on with your life. The message of Shomer Ptayim Hashem. David is saying here, I need to have faith in you. Shomer Ptayim Hashem, I am still Tarav Yagon Emsa, I'm going to find trouble. I'm going to walk right into it. I'm human. I am one of the Ptayim. I do normal things because normal things are things that I do. I'm poor spiritually, intellectually. I can't know any better. So God, you got to help me. I keep making decisions that land me in hot water, and Hashem still saved me via Shia. And so that's what you talk about throughout Hallel, that Hashem is Makbil, Hashavet is on high, Mashpili wrote, still watches over everything low down. Continues, Shuvi Matnafshi Mimchaifa. He's addressing his own nefesh, his own life. You, O Netmafshi, O my life, return Luminu Chaifi, and I can add the edge for Yud in there to rhyme, but it's to Luminu Chaif, to your rest. Calm down. Don't stress. There's trouble out there. There's lots of things you could worry about. You don't need to. Amal Hashem Aleichi, because Hashem will save you, address again, his own nefesh. How do you calm down? You gotta tell yourself that. Okay, God will take care of it. I can't salvage myself, but it will get there. Because you, Hashem, have saved my soul from death. My eyes from tears, that my feet from stumbling. So you protect me not only from dying, but also from being upset. Now I need to thank you. And now is the next. So that's, I will go with God in the land of the living. I'm not dead. I'm still alive. In the contrast is the last part. The last part we said, Lo Ameitim Yahaluya, that the dead can't praise Hashem, which interpreted as not so much literally dead, but those who don't serve Hashem. Those who have faith in idols, that's Mohem Yoho Sehem, they will be like their idols, dumb, mute, unable to move. Those are the Ameitim there. But no, David is saying, I am one of those who walk, I can move, I am one of the Chayim. placing your trust in anyone but Hashem for it means that you're silent, but no. Because last in the last paragraph, Yisrael b'tach b'Hashem, have faith in God. Let us say I'm one of those. Manti ki adaber, I have faith, even as I said, ani nitim od, I am in big trouble. I am literally tortured. I am in pain. Ani amati klasi, I said in my stress, kol adam kozev, which is a hard thing to understand. What is kol adam kozev? Everyone is faithless. Also here, all men are false. What does that have to do with everything else? I think he's saying that kol ha'adam doesn't mean all people, that's part of it. Everyone else, I have no, I can't have faith in them. I have to have faith in God, but it's all kol ha'adam, all of human existence is false. We don't know what the absolute truth is. The reason why I keep ending up in trouble, because I keep being wrong. I keep trying to do the right thing and things keep going wrong. Only Hashem knows everything and knows the truth, but that's not a lose faith. And I end up with Hemanti Kedibar. I still kept faith in Hashem, even as I'm saying this and realizing that I'm getting everything wrong. I still have faith in Hashem. Hashem is Shomer Sa'im. Hashem will guard me and I can still survive. That's the first half of the Torah. And when we're saying Hayapal, we skip that part, simply because it's more negative. It's all about the terrible things here. But right now we get to the regular halal, which is talking about, okay, given that, Hashem saved me, I got in trouble, Hashem saved me, we're going to go back to to declaring Hashem's greatness in public. I'm going to stop here. We get to the second half of this parak. And we'll continue, we should both continue next week.
Thank you.
Okay. Any comments, thoughts?
Any.